Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery, and today I am very honored to have as my guest talented musicians from Wind Spirit Drum, a Native American musical group that has won many national awards for their amazing music. Those of you that were at the KNSJ launch party at Mission Trails were treated to some of their fabulous music. Welcome, all of you, to the show.
Wanishi, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Very honored to be here.
Windwalker is the head singer, drummer, and flutist for the group. She is a member of the Cherokee and Mi'kmaq Native American tribes, and she is also a third-generation medicine woman. Windwalker, can you please share some information about your heritage with our listeners?
Awani is hello in Mi'kmaq, which is my mother's tribe. I am born into the Fox Clan. My father was Cherokee, and he was Bird Clan. So we say that we're born into the Fox Clan. We would take our mother's clan, and we're born for the Bird Clan, our father's clan. The Mi'kmaq also is part of the Wabanaki Confederacy, which consists of five other tribes, which we are also called Keeper of the New Dawn. We are one of the originals on the East Coast, on the Atlantic. They say that we came from Egypt and Atlantis.
Fascinating.
Thank you. Most of the Native Americans that you see of the Southwest, they say they came from the Bering Straits. They have more of a Oriental look, beautiful and darker skin. For we have a lighter skin, but we can get very dark. We also have the four different color eyes for the four seasons. And we have history BC.
That is fascinating. As someone who has some Cherokee blood myself, that's something I did not know.
Oh.
I was very honored to learn this.
Well,
now, tell us about some of the awards that you have recently received.
Oh, thank you. We have been very, very blessed with many awards. It started back with Amazing Grace from our first album, which is Lenape Spirits. Mm-hmm. That came back in 2008. I came back with a spiritual song and gospel song of the year at the Native American Music Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And I sing it in Cherokee, and it's a cappella.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
And then in 2010 and 11, and you won again. Tell us about that.
Oh, yes. Then came Grandfather, which is a beautiful, beautiful song that was written by a Lenape chief who has been journeyed for quite a while now, many moons. We have the honor of singing this beautiful song that came back from Native American Music Awards as Single Song of the Year. And it came back from the Indian Summer Music Awards for the Spiritual Song of the Year. We also, that song was the first song out of both our albums. That's on Ancient Winds. That's our second CD. That's the only song that's not traditional. Both our first two CDs are very traditional. So it was such an honor to have this song, Grandfather, and we also had a full orchestra put behind it. Which Terry Evans is the wonderful woman who composed, and she has journeyed from cancer. For that's one of our causes that we work with, the Wind Spirit Drum, is cancer and the homeless children and teenage suicide prevention. Our goals are to make awareness, to have the awareness in what's going on with our young. So we help our new album, Drum, which is Due Respect Universal Music, has a little more contemporary and also traditional. And we also have a young man that's on there who was a beautiful guitarist, and he still is.
And Drum received 6 nominations at the Indian Summer Music Awards, and one of the pieces on it, a spoken word, a poem, was named Song of the Year. And Drum was also nominated as Folk Album of the Year in the Native American Music Awards. So congratulations. And I understand you were a presenter there as well.
Yes.
What an honor.
It was my third year in a row to present, and I got to present Artist of the Year, which was Tony Duncan.
Fabulous.
Beautiful. Thank you. Beautiful hoop dancer and flute player. Another exciting thing this year was I got to sing with CeCe Murdoch at the Native American Music Awards. We did a Native E melody, which is actually from Elvis. We call him.
That's quite an interesting combination.
It was. He's called the Indian Elvis. He's phenomenal, CeCe Murdoch. He is. I get to sing with some beautiful, beautiful singers that were also nominees for the Native American Music Awards this year.
Very good.
Thank you.
Now we also have with us Idol Spirit Buffalo, who is a drummer with the group, and he is also a Native American chief. Idol, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to be here. It's been a joy to be here.
Can you please share with us a little bit about your heritage?
Well, my heritage is pretty much follows hers in the sense that I'm a Lenape.
Chief in the Lenape,
Lenape
tribe.
And from Cherokee, South Carolina. You know, my family's heritage is from there. And I'm also, other than just a drummer, I'm the drum maker. I've made...
These are amazing drums.
Thank you.
Closely, one that you had in here for the recording session that you'll be hearing soon, listeners, weighs 60 pounds.
Roughly, yeah.
Tell us what it's made of and what it takes to make these drums.
It's a 36-inch in diameter cedar drum, and it has elk hide and 330 laces that put together. I discovered that you can't have traditional lacing on drums here because it is so hot. And what it does is, if you don't have a lot of laces, it will snap the thinner ones. So
you've had to adapt it to meet our climate here in San Diego.
That's right. It was an eight-hour deal.
Now, how long ago did Wind Spirit Drum form, and how did the group get started?
Well, I think it started close to 20 years ago, and the germ of it happening, we were always drumming together, you know, all our kids did, and we had a whole herd of kids.
And what part of the country were you in back?
Different places, but the last big place was in Ohio.
Mm-hmm. And what brought you to California, to San Diego?
Warmth and and surf.
We have plenty of both here, don't we?
That's right. I mean, you know, I've spent many years in cold climates, and I think I'm done with that.
So you live here in Lakeside now?
I am, yes. Yeah, it's awesome out there. I love it.
Very nice.
That's great.
And that sounds like you're planning to stay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Very good. We also have with us Karen Story, who is a drummer, and she is Windwalker's sister. Karen, how did you first become involved with the music and with the group?
I first met them at the trading post here in Lakeside. They came on part of their tour.
Really?
And as we got to know one another, I was given the honor to be able to drum with them. And then Windwalker asked me if I wanted to learn how to be a drummer on the drum, and I jumped at the choice to do it, and I don't regret it. I love it.
Wonderful.
I love the vibration from the drum as we beat together, all of us together, just in sync. The vibration is just phenomenal.
Speaking of good vibrations, another drummer in the band is Spotted Tail Mare. And amazingly, she is deaf. She cannot hear. Spotted Tail Mare, how do you play the music?
Hi, this is Spotted Tail Mare from Windfield Drum. I am totally deaf. When I play the drums with them, I feel the heartbeat coming from the ground all around through the air and through the great spirit of the sky. So anyone who's hard of hearing or deaf is welcome to come and watch us perform. I'm the very first deaf drummer for Wind Spirit Drum, and I'm very honored to be a part of them.
Well, that's an amazing story and very inspirational for anyone out there with a disability, I'm sure. Windwalker, can you tell us about the significance of the music? Many of your songs actually have some social justice themes, which is very appropriate here on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.
Oh, thank you. Most of our songs that we have done through the traditions are prayers, and they're prayers for many, many different situations. And as I said, that the new CD, Drum, Do Respect Universal Music, came out with a little more contemporary, and I wrote this song called Segregated. We wrote the song 8,000 feet on top of a mountain in New Mexico. And it was all about, I realized that where I live, where we lived, now we live here in San Diego, but when we lived there, there was so much segregation in different cultures. And they never saw an East Coast Native American. So it started where I realized there was so much different segregations in different, it just kept spreading. And I realized, oh my goodness, this is just wrong. This is absolutely wrong.
Through your music.
Yes, so what I did was I wrote Segregated, and I particularly just specify, if you listen to it, it's I specify on being a Native American, because I didn't want to be an angry song or people take it in the wrong direction.
So not a protest
song. It's not a protest song. It's all about, I want people to open their eyes and see around them. Look around. That's what I say in the language. Wake up, look around you, we're all related.
Let's listen as Wind Spirit Drum performs Segregated in our studio right now.
In the snow to be a
These are very beautiful, very powerful, and moving songs.
Thank you.
Now, in just a moment, we're going to play some more excerpts for you, some of these amazing songs.
Wanishi.
But first, can you tell us where listeners can find out more about you or find this music if they want to hear more?
Oh, please, yes, thank you. You can go to Wind Spirit Drum. You can Google us or Facebook. Our music is also on CD Baby, Amazon. We can go to YouTube. You can see our music videos, which were, two of them were, they were filmed in the Black Hills Wild Mustang Sanctuary. They're one of our sponsors in South Dakota.
Oh
my. Hey Lopa and Grandfather was filmed there with our beautiful producers and directors, Carla LaReeve and Christopher Crosby.
Fabulous.
Thank you. They're wonderful people. They've stood behind us and our group for many years now. And then the other one, Trail of Tears, we did Cherokee Trail of Tears, which was also filmed in Magdalena, New Mexico.
Which I presume is about the terrible displacement
yes.
of the Cherokee people who were
yes.
forced off of their native lands and
mm-hmm.
the ordeal that they went through.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it's about. Also, what I did a little twist. Because there are a lot about the Trail of Tears, and there's a lot of tribes. But my twist was I want to make it bigger because of the segregation.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really look at that, you're going to see California White Sage,
You're going to see Navajo. You're going to see all different kinds of tribes in there. And at the end, my dear friend, Lisa Blessing, and that really is her name, she is the minister woman who is forcing us for the Christianity and onto this trail, forcing us off our lands into towards Oklahoma. So we have, because the Navajo had a long walk, which is the same thing. So what I did was I tried to take, once again, all different nations and make the history through our Trail of Tears. So when you watch it, you'll see all different
natives. Marvelous. Can you tell us a little bit about the songs that you were going to play for us today?
Oh, yes, thank you. The first song that we are going to do is called The Cherokee Four Directions. And I would like to gift this song to you today for the beautiful healing and bringing in all the ancestors in this beautiful station, for you are doing so much for San Diego and beyond.
Well, we're deeply honored by that gift.
Thank you. Thank you. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to call in the four directions and all the ancestors from those four directions for you and for everyone else.
Oh,
The second song that we're going to do is called Humba, which is a traveling song, and that's Cherokee also. From Ancient Winds, Humba Dimada is a calling song. If we were on the river and we were going with all the canoes, and it's a calling song, so you'll hear the drummers, I'll say one line and they call back. So it's a traveling song of all goodness and togetherness.
Beautiful. What's next?
The third song is from our new album, Drum, again.
The song is called Freedom, and this is the album that did so well for you at the Indian Summer Music Awards, where you also had the opportunity to perform for 3 days in a row.
In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, I cannot believe it. We're just really excited on the biggest stages in the United States. We're just amazed. It's amazing. It's in Milwaukee, right down the beautiful, beautiful waters of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Fabulous.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to gift you another song. And all the other listeners, this flute song is my drone flute, which is a cedar flute. If everyone right now will think of something that's beautiful, something that changed their life, I will play it back to you on the flute through the song.
That's amazing.
Thank you. This will be an original song for you and for everyone. That's just a wonderful blessing that I have to give to you, that you may take this song with you in your heart.
Thank you so much for sharing your generosity and your talent with us here today. We're going to play these songs now, and I want to thank all of you for coming here. You can get information on Wind Spirit Drum at our website, www.eastcountymagazine.org. Thank you for being here today.
Oh, Wanishi Wado.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're very honored.
Wanishi.
Oho, blessings.
KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, your network for social justice.
The East County Magazine show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org.
The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation. This is Miriam Raftery with a local government report. On November 12th, El Cajon's City Council will meet to determine whether to hold a special election or appoint a replacement for former Mayor Mark Lewis. Lewis resigned last week, citing health reasons, shortly after facing criticism over racial remarks. Councilman Bill Wells is now serving as the acting mayor until the vacancy is filled. Now, Mark Arabo, a Chaldean community leader and head of the Neighborhood Markets Association, is calling on council members to denounce statements by Lewis and further to implement district elections at the next city council meeting. Currently, all El Cajon residents vote for all council candidates, with the top vote-getters overall winning the seats. But under Arabo's proposal, the city would be divided into districts, each electing its own representative, a move that could result in one or more districts with a majority of Iraqi Chaldeans or other minority populations. In a press statement, Arabo voiced relief at Lewis's resignation, but added, "We will not stop here." He says this is the only effective way to prevent minorities from feeling underrepresented at City Hall. Councilman Gary Kendrick told East County Magazine he believes district elections can be divisive and that he thinks the real motivation to unseat council members is fueled by the alcohol industry and businesses that sell alcohol. Kendrick likens the situation to a tobacco ordinance passed previously that the merchant group also opposed. The ordinance reportedly reduced sale of tobacco to children from 43% of stores to less than 1%. As for efforts to seek district elections, Kendrick said, Arabo is trying to cloud the issue and take away a protection that the people of El Cajon really want.
Welcome to Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read. My name is Raina Menashe, and I'll be your host for this segment. Today I'm interviewing Lynn Morgan Spreen, author of Dakota Blues, which won the Next Generation Indie Festival Award. In the last couple of years, my guest has transitioned from journalist, columnist, and human resources executive to full-time writer and blogger. Welcome, Lynn. It's a pleasure having you here in the studio.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Lynn, although Dakota Blues is a work of fiction, the story is based on the lives of your ancestors, German immigrants who settled in North Dakota in the late 1800s. Can you tell us a little about the history of that, of your family, and what inspired you to turn it into fiction?
I went there recently, and I was just stunned by the stories that I was hearing from my extended family, many of whom I was meeting for the first time. They were telling me stories of how the immigrants, how difficult they had it. And, I mean, they would come over on ships, and then trains, and then, you know, wagons. And there was nothing there for them to build houses with. No trees. They didn't realize this. So they had to build, like, dugouts in the ground. And they lived, essentially, in holes in the ground for the first couple of summers.
I mean, winters.
Yes. Through the first couple of winters. And then, as their fortunes improved, they would build houses out of, like, clumps of sod, called soddies, then stone, then finally lumber. And the things they went through were just so shocking. I wanted to convey those stories through my fiction. Although I'm not a historian, I didn't want those stories to be lost.
Right.
So by writing what my preferred fiction is, a work of, you know, telling the story of a woman in midlife who's having to start all over again, she finds her resiliency by reaching down into her history and pulling up the strength of those ancestors. So it's kind of a cool way to be able to tell the story of my family
right. In
this way.
So for you, the history really inspired the story. It wasn't that you had always planned on writing this kind of story or even a book.
Exactly true. The stories are just so stunning. In fact, if I could just say one thing, the Banat Germans, that's my ancestry, they had a saying: to the first generation is death, to the second is hardship, to the third is success.
Wow.
They took the long view of investing for their family's good.
Wow. Very poignant.
Yeah, I know.
Well, your book, Dakota Blues, was recognized by the Next Generation Indie Festival Award. As I understand it, this is a contest for independent authors and publishers. Would you like to say something about independent publishing? What inspires you to make it on your own instead of going the traditional route?
You know, I think that you would be making it on your own, even if you went the traditional route these days. Right. I don't think there's any such thing the way that things are changing.
Yes.
And so I figured if I'm going to have to do all the marketing, you know, I have the kind of little red hand theory of book publishing. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to have to, you know, grow the wheat and mill the wheat and turn it into flour and make the bread, I'm probably going to enjoy the benefits myself. But more than that, I think even traditionally published authors have to do all of their own marketing these days.
Right.
I enjoy doing the marketing, but more than that, I enjoy the control, being able to create the book cover myself or decide what the format's going to be. And also, there's a greater profit margin, frankly, if you're selling your own books rather than having to support a Madison Avenue operation. So I think the idea is also that you can publish more quickly. You can publish a book in 6 months if you can get it written, whereas with the traditional model, it takes years and years and years to first find an agent and then to get a publishing house, of which there are fewer. So if you like control like I do, kind of a control freak, and also the speed and the revenues, I think those are my answers. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm doing it. I would encourage others to also.
Well, it sounds like the changes that are going on in society are aligned with what you enjoy.
Yes.
I know you've said that you want people to read about midlife characters, and you have a midlife character in your book. You want them to know about the midlife experience and triumphing over age. What kind of feedback have you received from readers about having an older heroine rather than a younger one?
Oh, this is the most gratifying thing. There are over 70 million people over 50 in this country right now.
Really?
And it's getting, there are more and more every day. Judging from both comments to my blog and also the reviews that I'm getting for my book, people are saying, this is so great. I'm tired of reading about young people. I want to know what's going to happen in the second half.
Right.
And so the idea of a coming-of-age story at midlife is sort of gaining traction. And that's what people are telling me, that they're excited to read about an older person now and what challenges she has.
So what kinds of books do you foresee in the second half of your life?
For me to write, or things that I think other people will write?
For you to write.
Oh, all I want to write about is this. The same thing. I love the challenges that we face as people in the second half. I think there is so much internal growth. We have so many gifts. There's so much power. Mm-hmm. And yet, in our culture, we really don't celebrate that.
Right.
That's what I rejoice in. I get so much, I enjoy that so much, telling people, you just don't even know what your strengths are. Let's talk about it. And that's what I write about in story form, in fiction.
That's an inspiring message.
Thanks.
Well, that brings us to your blog, also referred to as Midlife Magic.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your blog and how you see blog writing in the modern writer's life.
My blog, Any Shiny Thing, I called it that because, some birds, they get distracted easily by shiny things. And
right.
I didn't want to be limited to one particular topic. But it is about midlife, and I have a controversial recommendation for authors as far as blogging. Right now, everybody's told, all debut authors, all aspiring authors are told, oh, you must have a blog, you must have a blog. Blogs are wonderful. I think you absolutely must have a website. I think as often as you can, you should tinker with that website so as to draw traffic to the website for the purpose of marketing your book. But you need to know why you are blogging. If you're blogging because you want to express yourself artistically and you want to see your words in print and mm-hmm. you want to perfect your writing, it's really mm-hmm. a good vehicle for that. But for marketing, I honestly think it takes a lot of time away from what you should be doing, which is your number one priority, creating more stories. And if you are a fiction author, I don't think it's the best way to build a market. If that's your goal, there are other social network platforms already established that can give you a better return on your time for that.
And why do you say that for fiction writers?
Because if I work really hard to bring a lot of people to my blog, and they all buy my book. So let's say that's 3,000 people. I make 3,000 sales. Now what? Those 3,000 people are continuing to come back to my blog. We're communing. We're enjoying each other's company. My blog has grown to the point where now it's a campfire. and right. we're all sitting around it talking. But right. those people have already bought my book. I need new customers.
I see.
If I want to reach out to new customers, that is not the easiest way to do it. It's gratifying for a number of other reasons, but as far as developing a platform for future sales, I really think there are other things that would provide a better payoff, to be
frank.
Very
interesting. Well, thanks for that insight. Mm-hmm. One last question, Lynn. What story are you working on right now, and when will that become available?
Oh, this is so exciting. It's a collection of short stories. It's called Boomer Love, Short Stories of Midlife and Beyond.
Hmm.
And the reason that I'm writing it is because I have so many stories in my head of characters who I want to show that they are, you know, dealing with this midlife deal and how they overcome the challenges and move on in a powerful way, and then they experience joy. Or, not to be a spoiler, but in some of my stories, I actually have them see the light and then run back to their safe place that right. isn't so good for them.
Not experience the joy.
Yeah. So anyway, that's what I'm going to be doing. It should be available in probably spring. But after I do that, then I'm going to do a sequel to Dakota Blues.
Okay. Well, looking forward to it.
Thanks.
Our time is up, but thanks again for joining us. For more information on Lynn Morgan Spreen, please visit our website at www.inanyshinything.com. Again, this is Raina Menashe, and you have been listening to East County Magazine's Bookshelf, bringing you stories of local literary luminaries and some great books to read.
This is Connie Beck with Ready, Set, Grow. I'm going to help you create healthy and beautiful gardens using less money, less hard work, and much more fun. I'd like to talk to you now about why we call fall our planting season in Southern California. Obviously, we don't want to plant in August and September when it is so hot and so miserable. So what would we want to plant now and why? Well, for now, even though the rains may not have started, and I'm talking about October, November, December, the nights are cooler, the days are cooler, we don't have those August heat waves of 100 degrees, and once the Santa Anas are through, it's a great time to get things in the ground. What's the best thing to plant now? Now is the time to put in your trees, your native plants, your fall flowers that you pick up at the local nursery, and not to plant tropicals. We don't put in any tropicals now. By tropicals, I mean all the plants you think of when you think of Hawaii, everything you think of when you think of house plants that can grow outdoors. These are all tropical plants that are subject to being frosted. They don't like cold winter weather, so don't put them in the ground now. If you are in a very frost-prone area, then what you don't want to do is plant your citrus, your avocados, and anything tender right now. Think about where the plants originated. You don't have to look up every single plant that you want to grow, but if something is called Japanese something or other, that means that it will get by with cold weather, and you don't have to worry about planting it now. If it's something that's called Hawaiian something, I would be very leery of planting it in the fall, because it's probably highly subject to freezes and frosts. Why would you want to plant natives now, and why would you want to put in shrubs and landscape plants now? The plants that you put in now will not show much visible growth during the winter time, but underground, all sorts of exciting things will be happening. The roots will be growing. The plants will be sitting there waiting to get started in the spring when it first gets to be hot weather. They'll take off like gangbusters. Maybe you went to the Water Conservation Garden and you saw the Chinese pistache trees. If you haven't been there to see them, I recommend you go. In the fall, they turn the most glorious color of red and orange. It's hard to describe how beautiful they are. This is also the time of year when you see the liquid ambers showing off, the sweet gum trees. They look great right now. How do you know you're going to buy one that looks wonderful for you? Now's the time. Go to the nursery now and look at the tree colors of the ones that you like and pick ones that change the colors that you like. There will be some variation in your yard because possibly your yard doesn't get as cold or isn't quite as wet or has a different kind of soil than the nursery has. But
It's the best way to get the tree that you want for some gorgeous fall foliage. Why am I not telling you to plant your fruit trees now? Because you can save so much money if you wait until January. That's when the nurseries and the big box stores bring in the bare root plants. And when we get closer to that season, we'll have another session on here, and I'll give you all the instructions to have a great start on trees that will cost you $13 if you buy them in December or January, but they'll cost you $35 or $40 if you buy them in May.
This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the San Diego Performance Academy for the use of their studio, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.